This is DW News live from Berlin. Polls have closed in Brazil after a highly polarized presidential election. Leftist former president Lula da Silva is the front runner, but right-wing incumbent President Jair Bolsonaro has already warned of fraud, and some of his supporters want to use force to keep him in power. Also on the show, Indonesia's president orders a probe into Saturday's deadly riot and stampede at a football stadium. More than 125 people were killed after fans of the losing side stormed the pitch and police responded with tear gas. I'm Anya Coopers-McKinnon. Welcome to the programme, everyone. Polling stations have closed across Brazil and votes are now being counted after a bitter and polarised presidential campaign. Opinion polls give a clear advantage to the leftist former president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, but the far-right incumbent Jair Bolsonaro has indicated that he may not accept the results if he is defeated. Bolsonaro's comments have raised fears that his supporters might attempt to keep him in power by force. And for the very latest, we can speak to our correspondent in Rio de Janeiro, Johan Ramirez. Johan, votes are being counted. Is there any news yet on early results?
It is. There are news now. Some results, unofficial results, have been published by some local medias, say that Jair Bolsonaro is ahead in this presidential election, almost 49%. Against almost 42% for Lula da Silva, but this is just with 2% of the votes counted. So it's very little and everything can change. But still, these are not an official result. Official results are supposed to be announced between 1 and 2 hours. It means 7, 8 p.m. local time. And that's where we really know what's happened. But by the time being, as I said, Jair Bolsonaro is ahead, 49%, Lula da Silva in second place, almost 42%.
Okay, so things are looking close. During the campaign, opinion polls were putting Lula ahead of Bolsonaro. Can you tell us what is it that some people don't like about President Jair Bolsonaro's policies?
There are some issues that people don't like about Jair Bolsonaro. One of them is the economy. The economy has been a key in this electoral campaign. They see Jair Bolsonaro as a failed president in terms of economy because he couldn't tackle those problems, everyday problems of Brazilians, poverty, inequality, unemployment. And they see that he couldn't tackle those problems. And they see Lula da Silva as the opportunity of having a social government, a government based on social issues. But there are also other problems. The pandemic, for example, they blame Jair Bolsonaro's skepticism for many of the deaths that took place in Brazil during the pandemic. More than 700,000 people died in Brazil because of the pandemic. And many people say that because of his skepticism, the vaccine was delayed. I mean, the arrival of the vaccine was delayed in Brazil many months. So those issues made Jair Bolsonaro very unpopular during this electoral campaign.
Okay. As you just said, he's slightly leading now. Do we know when we can expect the final results?
The final results are going to be announced between 7 and 8 p.m. local time. There is not a time still fixed for that, but in every election, the electoral system in Brazil is very fast, so we shouldn't wait that long to know who won this first round.
All right, that's results that we are going to be watching very closely. But for now, DW's Johan Ramirez, thanks so much. It's to Indonesia now, where President Joko Widodo has ordered an investigation into a deadly riot and stampede at a football stadium on Saturday. When fans of the losing team stormed the pitch after the game ended, police fired tear gas, which triggered a crush. Now, the first funerals have been held for the 125 people who were killed. The death toll was actually revised down by officials after earlier reports had put the figure even higher. Our Indonesia correspondent Georg Matis filed this report about the events in Malang on the island of Java.
Silence on the soccer pitch the day after the Malang Stadium disaster. All of this has now become evidence in a desperate investigation of how things could get so out of hand. Outside the hospitals in Malang, in the province of East Java, hundreds of people are searching for their loved ones, like this father. He can't find his 18-year-old daughter. So far, he's been to three hospitals. I can't reach her. Maybe the phone is on low battery. I also can't reach her boyfriend. The tragedy unfolded the night before, when frustrated supporters of the losing home team invaded the pitch, throwing bottles and other items. Police officers fired tear gas, triggering a stampede. The World Soccer's governing body, FIFA, prohibits tear gas in or near stadiums. The local police chief declined to answer our questions about the event. What's clear is that the stadium was filled beyond capacity. 42,000 tickets for a venue made to hold 38,000 spectators. Hospitals are now struggling to care for scores of injured. Initially, we received 93 patients. Now 12 are left, 5 with serious head injuries and 4 in critical condition. The rest are on the way to recovery. There have been outbreaks of violence at matches in Indonesia before, but not at this scale. The president has now suspended the league until further notice, demanding a detailed investigation in what is one of modern history's worst stadium disasters.
OK, let's take a look at some of the other stories making news around the world. Ukraine is pressing ahead with its counteroffensive after retaking the key city of Liman in the country's east. Ukrainian troops have begun targeting the Russian-held city of Kremina in the nearby Luhansk region. Both cities are in regions that Russia declared as annexed on Friday. Iran continues to be rocked by anti-government protests, with students rallying in the central city of Isfahan. Videos posted on social media show protesters breaking down the gate to the city's university. Iranian officials have urged security forces to respond harshly to anyone they say is endangering public order. Religious and traditional leaders in Burkina Faso say the self-declared new leader, Ibrahim Traoré, has accepted the conditional resignation of the country's now ex-president. Paul-Henri Damiba was toppled by junior army officers on Friday in a coup that has sparked concern among world powers as the region battles a growing Islamist insurgency. And voting has ended in Bulgaria's fourth general election in 18 months. Exit polls say the centre-right party of former Prime Minister Boyko Borisov is ahead with around a quarter of the overall vote. The election took place amid concerns about soaring consumer prices and energy costs. Sports now, and in Formula One, Red Bull's Sergio Perez has won a very wet Singapore Grand Prix. The Mexican driver took the lead at the start and he didn't look back. Championship leader Max Verstappen could only finish seventh and will have to wait to clinch his second straight driver's title.
With the rain pouring down in Singapore, the drivers knew they were in for a slippery evening. For pole sitter Charles Leclerc, that came at the start. While he stuttered, Sergio Perez got away cleanly, edging ahead of the Ferrari man, and that's how they'd stay. Behind them, championship leader Max Verstappen had fallen even further back down the grid. He described the race as messy. 5 safety car periods made it very stop-start. Because forget singing in the rain, this was more like spinning in the rain. Even world champions weren't immune. Lewis Hamilton slid off the track before offering this apology to his team.
Sorry about that, guys. Sorry, man.
And then Verstappen, who'd worked his way up to fifth, did the same. By now, any chances of him clinching a second title this weekend had long since evaporated, much like the drying track. The two men who can catch him in the standings cantering off into the distance. Perez crossed the line in first. He was later docked 5 seconds for breaking safety car rules, but kept his victory.
Well done, guys.
That is your best ever drive, mate. That was sensational.
What a race. Woohoo! So happy. It's been a while, mate.
Celebrations then for Red Bull, but the bigger celebration is still to come.
In the women's Bundesliga, Bayern Munich closed the gap at the top thanks to an easy 4-0 victory in Duisburg. 2 goals from Linda Dahlmann had Bayern 2-0 up inside the first 20 minutes. The visitors slowed down slightly after that, but another 2 goals in the closing stages from Lea Schüller rounded out the scoring. The victory sees Bayern move to within 2 points of league leaders Wolfsburg. Now, the match of the weekend in the women's Bundesliga, though, happened in Cologne. They came out on top of a 6-goal thriller with Turbina Potsdam, complete with red cards, own goals and missed penalties. We join the action in the first half with the score tied at 1-1.
When Turbina Potsdam went 2-1 ahead through Amandi Islacker's own goal on 11 minutes, it looked like curtains for Cologne. Islacker's first match as captain was not going to plan. But then came a moment of madness from Potsdam keeper Vanessa Fischer. She saw red for a professional foul on Islacker at the end of the first half. But the Cologne skipper's miserable day got worse as she saw her penalty saved by sub-goalie Jill Frese. After the break, Cologne eventually made their numerical superiority count. Martina Wienkowska answered Islacker's own goal by putting through her own net to make it 2-2. Before Islacker redeemed herself to give her team the lead. And a sweetly struck free kick from Myrthe Moraes added some gloss to the scoreline. Cologne back to winning ways, while Potsdam remain without a league victory.
On Sunday, in the men's Bundesliga, struggling Hertha Berlin held Hoffenheim to a 1-1 draw. Hoffenheim's Andre Kramaric, in what was his 200th Bundesliga appearance, netted in the 25th minute to open the scoring. But the home side responded through Dodi Lukubakio for his 3rd goal this season. Hertha still without a home win this term. And in Sunday's late game, Augsburg scored more than twice for the first time this season in their 3-2 victory over Schalke. Ermedin Demirovic netted 2 early goals to give Augsburg a solid lead, but Schalke fought back and levelled after the break through Tom Kraus. The deciding goal came after Augsburg went down a man as Andre Hahn secured the victory in the 77th minute. Augsburg have now won 3 in a row. And now we can check out some of the other stories from the world of sports. Manchester City's Erling Haaland has now scored hat-tricks in each of his last 3 Premier League home games. His latest came across against crosstown rivals Manchester United in a 6-3 victory. Haaland has tallied 14 league goals so far, more than double anyone else. City manager Pep Guardiola was full of praise for his forward.
What he has done, I didn't teach him once. When the ball is right and disappear for the action and after attack the box, when how always move behind the central defender away of the action. So having incredible instinct in sense when the ball is coming to arrive there.
In tennis, Novak Djokovic has won the Tel Aviv Open. Djokovic was in dominant form, seeing off Marin Cilic in straight sets. It was Djokovic's 19th win over Cilic in 21 matches. The Tel Aviv title is his 3rd trophy this year, following titles in Rome and at Wimbledon. In MotoGP, KTM rider Miguel Oliveira has won the Thai Grand Prix. The Portuguese defied the rainy conditions, which delayed the start, to cross the line 0.73 seconds ahead of Ducati's Jack Miller. It's Oliveira's 2nd victory of the season. And we've just got time for a reminder of our top news story at this hour. Vote counting is underway in Brazil after polls closed in the country's highly polarized presidential election. Leftist former president Lula da Silva is the front runner, but right-wing incumbent President Jair Bolsonaro has already warned of fraud, and some of his supporters want to use force to keep him in power. You are up to date. Thanks so much for watching DW News.